ཁྱི ཁྱི
Start first of all by adjusting your motivation according to the tradition that we have received from all the lineage lamas. Start by thinking that you're here in this occasion to receive these teachings, not just for your own sake, but for the sake of all sentient beings. Sentient beings who have been your mothers in the past and are as vast as the vastness of space. For their sake, you aspire to reach the precious state of perfect and complete enlightenment, the state that is characterized by the full development of all positive qualities and the total elimination of all negativity. With this particular thought in your mind, please adjust your motivation.
All activities of the Buddha that have ever been done from the beginning to the end were activities for the sake of sentient beings. Over countless lifetimes, over countless eons, the Buddha engaged in activities in order to generate the mind of bodhicitta. Following that, he engaged for three countless eons in a variety of extensive activities in order to amass the two accumulations of merit and wisdom. After that had been amassed, the act of manifesting enlightenment again was done for the sake of sentient beings. All activities from the beginning to the end were always done for the sake of others. And as the great Lama Tsongkhapa has said, from amongst the various activities, the deeds of the Buddha, the ones that directly affect us, the ones that directly benefit us, are the enlightened activities of the speech. It is true that once the Buddhas have attained and have achieved the state of enlightenment, they can manifest a great variety of enlightened activities. They can manifest thousands of bodies to appear in whichever place there is need for them to manifest. They can also interact in through sending forward enlightened activities of the mind. But for the ordinary trainee, for the ordinary person, enlightened activities of the body and enlightened activities of the mind are not always perceived directly. On the other hand, enlightened activities of the speech, which is the teaching of the Buddha itself, it is always perceived, and in that way it is the one that has the most direct impact on us ordinary beings. And we see that the Buddha, after attaining the state of enlightenment, he engaged in many activities, and most of them had to do with the activities of bestowing the teachings of Dharma. The turning of the wheel of Dharma was turned three times, and from that we have teachings of the lesser vehicle and teachings of the great vehicle. Within the lesser vehicle we have teachings of the vehicles of hearers and solitary realizers, and from within the great vehicle we have teachings of sutra and tantra. Again, within the tantric vehicle, we have teachings of the three lower tantras of action, of performance, and yoga tantra, and also we have teachings of highest yoga tantra. So as we say, from the side of the Buddha, this marvelous exposition of Dharma is proclaimed at all the times. Now, from the side of the disciples, of those who receive those teachings, we see that there are different activities that are generated through the initial activity of the Buddha. So disciples from their own side, they can first of all come in contact with those teachings, listen to those teachings, have the opportunity to hear to those teachings, and later on they can spend some time reflecting on the meaning of those teachings, and further on they can have the opportunity to familiarize their minds with the meanings of that, and therefore engage in the activity of meditation. But in order for all these activities to happen, also disciples must have a certain level of merit. From the side of the Buddha, the teachings are always set forward, but whether trainees will have the opportunity to listen to them, or whether after listening they will have the capacity or the opportunity to reflect on them, or even further, whether they have the opportunity to meditate on them, that entirely depends on the merit of the trainees themselves. And we see that there are many cases where certain disciples, they do not have all the merit that it takes to go through those three stages of hearing, of reflecting, and of meditating. And it seems that these three practices, quite often, they are separated. Like the order is not often complete, because it takes quite a lot of merit. Now, for as we say, from the side of the Buddha issues the teachings. What the trainees can do with them, it is dependent on the level of their merit. And this has also been mention on the Ornament of Realization of composed by Protector Matvieya, where it says, the skies, they also allow the rain to fall down. But you see that in some countries, according to the merit of the people of that land, they might receive the rain, they might not receive the rain at all, they might receive a subtle rain or a very hard one, they might receive a rain at a time which is inappropriate, or even though there might be the conditions, the clouds might always be there, issuing drops of rains due to winds and other obstacles, somehow the beings of particular lands might never be benefited by actually receiving this water. And whether one will receive the rain at the appropriate pace and at the appropriate time is of course according to one's level of merit. And there are always obstacles in that. Now, when we talk about obstacles, we need to see those obstacles as being enemies, as being demons. We talk about enemies on the external level and enemies existing in the internal level. And it's really the internal enemy that exists within one's own mind, one's own internal obstacles that need to be reflected upon, and one needs to take measures in order to remove and eliminate those.
So from Buddha's side, give teaching, there's no discrimination, compassion equal towards everyone, towards all the enemies. So then, the king of the Deva, the Indra, is not allowed to reign.
Oji da dinda yimba yindu inji garisa go lamra sona dinda sanga go yawa wa oji da inji chi da da nang da ni ni nang da se je di ji nyu mo wa da wa da chi chi do da yang yang go yawa re di inji nang da di di ta ma di so la ti ni nang nyu mo ti sa gar gar chi go yo mi ti jin de tren ba da chi jin go wa da so an da wo ji wa da di mo shi ba yin na ติญญ์บุญญมสุจิเฉญญ์โอดะตะโซกังกะชิจิติกัจฉิมโบยินบะยินตุชีดากะจุนบะนบันดาริจิวะยินนะจุอันนี้ยะสิชะวะลิซองอะนองเจริกับกับกะโลบระบะริมาตอติญญ์ตุชีดะติญญ์ตะเดเดวะมาริสนองกะดาติตุญญ์ตะรองตองญัมรุญญัมตุยินตุโอดะนองกะดาติงงะริสตะติยินบะยินตุนองกะดาติดะยิตองมะมะโซวะลาตินี
เตลามะระคัตติจังนะอิจิคัตติณระโวจังอัตตมะตุตะกุโกริยะสติตะกุโกริมาตะนังกะฑะติฑะยินบะงุมาชิบะจิรังกังกงเจบะยินบะระโวสีติวะยินนะโอตะตะนิฑะสะวะมิงิจินังกะฑะจิรินโตกะริติสอกะชิฑะติจิรินโตอะจิตะชุญญะยินกะริยะสะนะสองจัง We talked about the enemy and about the need to recognize one's internal animus, and these are issues that are also discussed within the Lam Rim. It is said that it is so important to know that you have the enemy inside, and by using your recollection and your introspection to always check your mind. And as soon as you identify what is the main enemy, what is the main poison, the main affliction, to apply the antidote that is the most appropriate for this particular occasion. So knowing and recognizing the enemy is the first and most important part. As the great master Shantideva has also said, external enemies are not so important because they're not always there. They might arise from time to time and cause some trouble adventitiously. But as for the internal enemy, this comes with you wherever you go. It accompanies you all the time. So it is really the internal enemy that needs to be identified. And this is where the effort for overcoming it, for being triumphant over it, this is where the main effort should be applied.
You know how sometimes if you look at the political situation of a country where they are just about to have an election, because let's say that it's time to change the prime minister or the president of the country, and you can watch the situation just before the elections. You see that you have all these different parties, and some of them are the opposition parties, some of them are the parties that, let's say, were supporting the previous government and so forth, and there's always this fight, this struggle to see which one will win more power, will win more votes than the other one. And you see that according to their power, they can, you know, according to the power and the support they will get, this is how they can, one particular party can win the elections, and they can decide, they can choose who they will appoint, let's say, as the prime minister and so forth. We need to take this analogy internally and see how we have all these different parties within our own minds, parties of virtue and parties of non-virtue. And there is always this constant struggle for power between them to see who will overcome the other. And we need to identify that we have the main opposition party, let's say. It's opposition to virtue because it is the party of the three main afflictions, our attachment, our hatred, and our confusion. We always need to be vigilant in this fight because if we are defeated, if we lose this, there is only one way to go. There are the lower migrations of the animals, of the hungry ghosts, and the hell beings.
On the other hand, if it is the party of virtue that is stronger within your mind, if it is virtue that overcomes the enemy of afflictions, then whatever you try to do, you will see that conditions will be favorable. And in particular, if you are a Dharma practitioner, you will see how much easier things will become in your practice of Dharma, since virtue will be gathering together, so to speak, all the favorable conditions. Whether you are an individual who is practicing Dharma, whether you are a Dharma center or a representative of a Dharma center, you need to think carefully about this. What is this? Because if you indeed allow virtue to overcome afflictions, it will be the case where everything within the Dharma center will run smoothly, where conditions will be favorable, where people will come to practice in there, and where the Dharma center will flourish. It is important to examine your activities to make sure that you are not, it is not your attachment or your hatred or your confusion that overpowers you and guides you. In particular, when you engage in Dharma activities, make sure it is not just called Dharma, but it is pure Dharma, because only when it is supported by virtue, it can flourish.
ဒါကြောင့်ဘာကျွာဒီအရာဒီစနေတဲ့ဆောင်စကတိကေကတောင်းနေပေါ်ကေကေနဲ့ဒါကြောင့်စကယွာရီကျွန်ရကဒါဒီရှိဓမ္မယံဘာနံကဒညမတုစံကျွန်ဘာတီလာဝဒါဒါကြောင့်ဘာဆောင်ရကြည့်တော့တင်ဒါဂွန်ဘာလာယင်းနီဝိနာကြီးညကံဘောပြေရတဲ့သောတံဘုအကြီးဆောက်ချမနဲ့ဆောင်ကြီးကြောင့်တင်းဒီကရောဝကြည့်တာအကြီးဒီကပ်စဂလုံးစောကံကဆုံညမလာဖြစ်ကြွာတမတော့နဲ့ကြည့်ပန်ကျွတဲ့သူဆိုကြချင်းဘုတောင်ရကတန်န
Now, we're talking about this fight with one's own enemies, and we know we use this particular term, the Arhat, the four destroyer. The four destroyer, or the title Arhat, is bestowed to someone who has overcome their enemies. And of course, it refers to someone who has overcome their internal enemies. Now, if we look at another aspect of the practice, Rinpoche was saying, if you look at the practice as it was established and as it was done at the time of Buddha Shakyamuni, you would see that the first disciples who had this incredible fortune to be at the time where Buddha Shakyamuni was teaching, we have to understand that they had this an incredible store of merit to be able to be amongst those first disciples. But one of the things that was stressed by Buddha Shakyamuni himself, and later later on was carried through this tradition, was that there should not be too much emphasis on material, let's say, prosperity, on material wealth. What one needs to carry one through one's practice of Dharma is merit. This is what will allow you to be at the right occasions where the teachings are given, and this is what will allow you to continue with your practice. And for that reason, it was said that those who were ordained and those who were within the members of the Sangha, a certain amount of austerity, of simplicity in their lifestyle was necessary. And you can see that when the great monasteries was initially established, such as Nalanda Monastery in India, there was this this element of almost poverty, great simplicity of certain aspects of lifestyle was very much stressed. Later on, when the great Lama Tsongkhapa established Ganden Monastery in Tibet, he also stressed that we should not be sort of like advertising that we are here to practice Dharma in order to attract sponsors. We should not be giving out any signals kind of seeking to receive material wealth. All this needs to be cast away. All you need is your long life and your long accumulation of merit in order to be able to practice Dharma. You don't need anything else. As a matter of fact, material wealth becomes an obstacle. Too much food, too much clothes, too much money becomes an obstacle to one's meditation.
And back in Tibet, when one were to look at the qualities of the geshes that were produced, and one were to ask about their location, their origin, statistically, it was quite obvious that those who were coming from Lhasa or from Tsang, from the main area of Tibet, they seemed to be not as good as the geshes that came from Kham or Amdo. And there is an explanation for that. Those who were coming from Lhasa, for example, were near to their families. If they needed anything in terms of food, in terms of clothing, in terms of support, it was always quite near. They had access to, let's say this material support. Those who came from Kham and Amdo to join in the monasteries and study, back then they had to walk for 5 or 6 months even to get into the monastery. And once they got there, it was very difficult to ask the families, send me money, send me clothes, send me food. And these were the people that were really determined. Once they got into the monastery, they just put all their effort into study, into meditation. And this is why it is said that there are so many stories of some of those great Kham and Amdo geshes, great scholars who wouldn't even have enough tsampa to go through, right? And the Lhasa kids, who were a little bit the spoiled kids, they were a bit more affluent, but not so good in their studies.
So what Rinpoche is emphasizing is that too much comfort, too much sense enjoyment, and then that you see you are seeking for that, and then it interferes to your practice, Dharma practice, to bring your mind path. And Lama Tsongkhapa was concerned that if there's so much monasteries, if so much offerings, you see, material, say, in the enjoyment, it would interfere the monks' practice in the Garden Monastery, with Garden Monastery founded by Lama Tsongkhapa himself. In order to control that, to not increase so much, you see, the material comfort, the enjoyment, you see. So Lama Tsongkhapa put four directions to the Garden Monastery. In the begging bowl, put various food, but Lama Tsongkhapa put the begging bowl upside down, you see, four directions. Put the begging bowl with the contained various food, but upside down. So to control too much, as the material possession or the sense enjoyment, which would interfere to the pure Dharma practice or the development of the divine path.
Sīgāṁ pāṅyā mīṅgī jī kāṅgā tūmā nāśā yōsī. Tā chū nāṅdā jī mātāṅ yīgā nīsir kākārī mātāṅ dī. Chū nāṅdā jīngī jī yēnā tsūvā yāṅyā gā chītā sāṅgā tāṅ mā gūngī. Tā sāṅ jī rāṅgā mā tū jī sōnāṅ sākā yōvā yēndū sōnāṅ gā tī sāṅ chūndā wā tī tī ngū yā yōsī nā sāṅ yōvā rā wā tā tī yāṅ mā jī.
Now, also when we look at the historical Buddha Shakyamuni, as I say, he engaged in during the period of three countless sins in the deeds amassing the two types of accumulations. And he remained in this world for 80 years. And Buddha Shakyamuni himself has said that those who are followers of my Dharma do not have to worry. Those who are pure followers, because the merit that I have amassed, I have dedicated, so that they will never have any worries of how they will be supported during their lives. They can live their lives by practicing Dharma without worrying how where to receive and how to survive.
So Rupert is saying that. So Buddha, you see, dedicated merits, so for the practitioners, Dharma practitioners, some part of merit is received by the practitioners. So if a person who is a practicing Dharma, say, if it's a pure practitioner, if it's a pure Dharma practitioner, no need to worry at all in the temple, in the the sense of enjoyment, or the needs, the material needs, the conditions, the needs for the life. It's no need to worry at all. It just comes. The person receives if the person is doing pure Dharma practice. So I'm just saying, the story.
Buddha 시그 또 그 가로서 이제 말하고 또 그 셔서 이제 메신의 특지 그 와디 이 주니어 그 말 거기 그 투모 나와서
so when the Buddha was in the you know in the Buddha the time when the Buddha was in the world in India the common people the common age of the people, the human being's life, they live for 100 years. Buddha did have that, Buddha did have, you see, the, how say, you know, did have that, say, opportunity to live for 100 years, but Buddha didn't live for 100 years, he only lived 80 years. So that merit to live for 100 years, you see, is dedicated for the Dharma practitioners. So it is normally said that it is completely confirmed that if it's a pure Dharma practitioner, no worry at all, dying starvation and so forth at all. So that's completely confirmed. It is said. So also this has also something to consider. This also meaning. You know,
Ramsha said the reason why we elaborated on this issue is because sometimes some of the centers or some of the individuals, they have developed this idea that perhaps they're not so wealthy, they're not doing so well materially and so forth. And everybody needs to be reassured that if they are practicing pure Dharma, then you don't really need to worry too much, you don't really need to complain too much that your finances are not so good. Of course, we live at a time and an age where it is really useful. You know, you can't live without money, you can't live without resources. These are, you know, very useful things to have. Nevertheless, it's important to weigh, let's say, the purity of one's Dharma practice against that need as well.
Now, are we going back into our text where we are at the point where we are discussing the three types of conduct? And there are actually three classifications of that. We have, first of all, from the point of their nature, where they are classified as conduct with elaboration, without elaboration, without any elaboration. Then we look at it from the means of support, and finally we look at it from the point of view of the time that they occur. We're on page 54, halfway.
Or do that, to me go jobalas and you are it, and I see you do mama go tumble to jigger job to me go jobati or that to me go jobala, that genuine is on your lassie. Then I see you is a do that to jigger job down
Now, we look at it from, it says, if the practice in this context is classified by nature, from the point of view of their nature, there are three. First of all, there is practice with elaboration, then we have practice without elaboration, and finally we have practice without any elaboration at all. For the practice without elaboration, there are three, the great, the medium, and the small. Both the former and the latter practices are not classified in three, right? So the one with elaboration and the one without any elaboration, they are not classified in three. Now, we look at the second type of classification, which is if they are classified by means of support, there are two, in the practice of the generation stage and in the practice of the completion stage.
Now,
for the time of the, say, when we do this classification by means, there are two, one in the practice of generation, then one in the practice of completion, and it says for each of those, there is the practice with elaboration, without any elaboration at all. Now, if classified by means of time, there are two. Practice at the time of empowerment to make candidates suitable to be vessels, and practice at the time of meditating on the path. And in the second one, when we are on the path, again, there are two types. Practice to obtain the path not previously obtained, so when you do it in order to achieve newly something, and practices to extract the benefit of that which has already been obtained.
Now,
we look at the first case of that where we say to do some to engage in this contact in order to obtain the path not previously obtained. And it says the first exists from first meditating on the generation stage up to but not including obtaining non-learner's union. So basically from the beginning to the end of the path, you can rely in this practice in order to induce things or to attain stages which you have not generated already. And then we have the practices to extract the benefit of that already obtained. And in this one, we have no more than four contexts. And it is explained how you can do that on the practice of generation as well as on different stages of completion.
我觉得你那边人对待起码，都是三年的，就第二季刚被人抓过去的，半年过去被几百，各地业务的单子呢，人们现在业务怎样个有压力？当部的，节日们太闲的，节日们太闲的，对呢，就当从节日们从那个搞不到节日，人对，太闲的，他们跟我们这个对外全部紧张，领导跟我们这边个接的，小白小白些把的，热闹个当部。 在地头里养几个，嗯，在节日的节日当留言，你个卡卡多人的我拍几拍几张的几个有啊的，我在这里留言当我问个七个几个人嘛，我就在这里原本三个男的三万多米，满到三万多米，吉林这边个东的学吧学吧的，啊，就第一两个女娃，然后第吉林头产的代言机构。
我自己认为，自己个头也个，就觉得，那自己个自己的，我们吉林的嘛，都会吉林的，但都会吉林头也个觉得，小百姓的，只能个三百点点的。我在这里在头上就头点的，要么老百姓就头也个觉得小百姓的，吉林没点的。Now,
as we say, there are four occasions to be examined, and. It says, first of all, is the first practice is to extract the benefits of that already obtained has no more than four contexts. The first one is engaging in practice to establish the common cities having consummated the generation stage. So you have gone through the generation, you have progressed through the generation stage, and you're doing it for the sake of establishing those common cities. The remaining three occasions are occasions on the level of the completion stage, and we'll see that it will have to do after attaining the generation stage, when you are in the level between the physical and the verbal isolation, later on having attained the mental isolation but not having attained the illusory body, later on having attained the illusory body but not having attained the pure illusory body, and later on having attained the learner's union but not yet having moved into the non-learner's union. So it says, from the text, engaging in practice to establish the illusory body, having obtained mental isolation, engaging in practice to obtain the primordial awareness body, purified by the clear light, having obtained the illusory body. So the primordial awareness body, which is purified by the clear light, is the pure illusory body, right? So from the impure to the pure. And the last one, engaging in practice to obtain non-learner's union, having obtained learner's union.
我记得今天也没人对待，那隔壁我弟弟，他今天对那是他今天对那接人机，那碰见个小白下人定一个工作也那，接人查找他身边吃，接人查么查接人老板用他身边去过过日子。我记得第几，今天早上去，碰见个小白下人定一个工作就也那，那原本什么个弄的。 前面特别大，吃不进的上就有啊哩，现在就各个人也是东北人啦，现在就买到钱了。但是你前面比小白马西娃了，他们跟我这忙不，那这个他们跟我这忙不这边有讲，他们跟我这几天提拔难当，他们跟我这个弄的，怎么着我都是同意我嘛的，现在忙不样对同个。
Now, we continue with some explanation of the need of this practice. It says, thus it is stated that if one is a person suitable to practice to extract the benefit of the generation stage, it is pervasive that she or he has consummated the gross and subtle generation stage, right? If you are engaging in any of these contacts. Now, if you're doing it on the completion stage, it says, if one is a person suitable to practice to extract the benefit of the completion stage, it is pervasive that she or he has obtained mental isolation. So in a sense, it gives you the level of the practice or the path you must have reached before you engage in any of these three types of contacts. Now, why they are done? They are done because practices to extract the benefit of the completion stage are to obtain enlightenment in one life, because there is no attainment of Buddhahood in one life without practicing any of the three practices of this contact, right? That is... Excuse me? Those on the generation stage establish many common cities without engaging in practice. Here the practice is this conduct, right? They engage in practicing the conduct, which is the mean of quickly and easily establishing fully consummated common cities and many others. So what it says is that it is possible to induce various cities, right? But it will take you such a long time. And if you want to do it quickly and if you want to do it easily, then you can do it by relying on the practice of the three contacts, any of the three contacts.
So having explained why one does it on, when one is on the level of generation stage, the text continues to explain why it's done on the level of completion stage. So it says, practices to extract the benefit of the completion stage are to obtain enlightenment in one life, because there is no attainment of Buddhahood in one life without practicing any of these practices of conduct. And why? That is because when one is capable of generating the three primordial awareness by the power of consummating wind yoga, one is not capable of generating the fully qualified primordial awareness of mental isolation without engaging an external concert. And it continues by says, and though one attains the capacity to gather the winds and melt bodhicitta through igniting the tumor by the might of piercing the points in the internal points, one obtains a great improvement in those by means of a seal. And thus, the seal is stated to be the stage enhancing comprehension of thatness. Therefore, Actually, Rinpoche read the whole of that paragraph where it says, therefore, meditation on thatness through combining the attachment, enjoyment, and associated requisites of the seal, having already attained the method capable
of piercing the points in the internal body is stated to be the meaning of the practice of extracting the benefit of the completion stage. Now, after that, the text goes into giving us some sort of explanation of what it means to engage in this practice with elaboration and without elaboration, finally without any elaboration at all. So first of all, he says, practices elaborated through wearing costumes similar to the action seal, etc., making gestures and responding to gestures, etc., are practices with elaboration. So in this particular occasion, the practitioner as well as the concert will have to have already, prepare certain masks, certain costumes, and in the similar way that one would, communicate with the dakinis and engage in a process of act of communication with gestures and responses. If one engages in all these activities, then one is practicing this conduct with elaboration. The difference of practice with and without elaboration is made clear on the second paragraph of that, where it says, practices of wearing the costumes similar to the action seal, etc., but which are not elaborated through making gestures and responding to gestures are practices without elaboration. So in both cases you have the masks and the costumes, but if you have the dance and the performance and that communication, then it is with elaboration. If that is missing, it is without elaboration.